What's up? It's your boys, Jordan and Abraham. He's a professional runner, so he's your fast friend.
Yes, sir.
I'm a PhD student, so I'm your smart friend. Thanks to our producer friend, Alex, who's also here with us. We got mics, so hopefully you can hear your friends a little bit more clearly today.
Loud and clear, man.
It's crazy. We've got this ridiculous chapter that just dropped, and I just feel like if you're someone who believes that, has a hard time believing that we're gonna get some lore about the world government with all this O'Hara stuff, you gotta wake up feeling a little stupid today. Like, I feel like I would almost be ashamed to show my face if I was someone who's like still holding on
No, we're
to.
really going to get into my rightness later in this episode and exactly how right I believe I am. And I think that you are not even going to believe how right I think I am. So we can save that for after we let everyone
That's
know about the show. But
crazy,
I
dog.
could not believe your reaction that you posted on Discord calling me an idiot like that. So we could not be further away in what we think is going to happen on
Calling you
today's
out of your name.
show.
Man, the chapter title was Stalemate. It's also what Jordan and I are currently at with respect to how we think about this chapter. Why don't you give me a rundown of some of the events that happened this week?
Yeah, man. Well, it's called Stalemate, and we got a chess-themed color spread with Robin moving gear fifth Luffy like the king and some incredibly cute chopper pawns across the board. And the chapter begins with Saint Mars having reached the lab of Stratum, remarking, "What is death to something like this?" as he stands in front of a giant, and I mean giant, Vegapunk's brain.
Yeah, that panel was ridiculous. Like, I feel like you get in sci-fi a lot, this whole brain in a jar kind of thing. Like, it's a common trope, and that was just like that trope on crack. It was beautiful.
Well, I feel like what's so funny about it is we had already seen Vegapunk's brain, and it was already like cartoonishly large. Every time we had seen him in the past when he was with Dragon, it's already like popping. It's about five times that size in a way that's absolutely hilarious. And I'll say, one person who did theorize it was after our show last week that there was going to be an eighth Vegapunk brain that shows up in this chapter. My man Uteron, my guy. My guy
You
knows
keep
what
on
he's talking about.
bringing the wrong Uteron theories to ask us.
He
You
posts on
bring
Sundays. He posts on Sundays after the show had already come out.
that.
Honestly, I really am mad about my timing on a lot more things than you would think. So the broadcast does begin to kick off, and so we go around the world to see Kaya and Usopp's pirates, Crocus and Laboon, your guy. Shout out Laboon. Shout out Laboon. We
Shout
go to
out Lagoon.
Baltimore. There we go. I had to get a little something for you on it,
Yeah.
We go to
He's the
Baltimore.
GOAT.
So, go ahead, man. Go
No. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I just wanted to let you know that he was the GOAT.
ahead. second to Karu, we go to Baltimore and Torino Kingdom. And even the guys at Pirate Island are telling each other to shut up and listen. Mars destroys the transponder snail. It was a decoy. This won't be a repeat of Clover. The Elder Stars say he means to finish what O'Hara started. But they can't destroy the entirety of Punk Records because they say they won't be able to create another Mother Flame without it. Through the rest of the chapter, we get some action with Nami and Chopper protecting Robin from Saturn, and Usopp helped, like, I guess, maybe a little bit, barely, probably not really. Sanji landing a hit on Venus Jiro to save Bonnie before she, Oimo, and Kashi team up in what was kind of a crazy spread for a character that we now know is 12 years old.
I think Oda's gone a little too far with this Sanji gig, like gaff and like sexualizing. Like, she's 12. She's at the end of the day, she's 12. And I know that she's like drawn as an adult, and there's so this is not like an isekai where we're just supposed to like, you can have like a 40-year-old in the body of a 12-year-old, or like the 12-year-old in the body of a 40. Like, I don't know. I just feel like Oda needs to cut out with some of these shots of Bonnie. And also, Sanji thirst. My biggest problem is honestly Sanji thirsting over her. That, right, like, sure. As a 12-year-old.
Yeah. It's like you're a grown man.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in high school, I remember we were seniors, and there was some girl who was maybe like 14 or something. It was a freshman, right? And she was dating some guy who we knew who was a senior. It was a guy I didn't really like also, so that made it better. But, and one of my friends was like, well, she doesn't look like she's 14. I'm like, dude, what? What do you mean she doesn't look like she's 14? Like, I think it matters that she is 14. I will say, though, I'm curious, you know, I feel like anime does have some weird, like, you know, people being a certain age and then looking like some kind of crazy other age. But like Yoko and Gurren Lagann, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was talking about with like this. It's a, like that is whole isekai thing, right? But like, I still feel like Sanji knows better.
Yeah, Sanji is grown. Yeah, he's not even reading a manga. He's like a character in the show. He knows better.
He should do better.
Yeah. he's a grown man. But by far the most significant part of this chapter is Vegapunk's broadcast and the reveal that comes with it. He says, I confess that I've committed two grave sins. I believe that I soon will be executed for my transgressions, so this message will be programmed to broadcast the second my heart stops beating. Even so, I want to make one thing clear, and I pray you understand this. Please do not assume the ones who strike me down are evil, regardless of who they seem to be. I do not intend to discuss right and wrong here. I am not qualified to judge such things, and I don't know nearly enough about him in any case. I'm sure what I'm about to say will be hard to accept. Some of you may think I'm a madman or even an idiot. That said, it is still my duty to ensure that everyone is aware of this issue. I'll cut to the chase. Our world is going to sink into the ocean.
Yeah, into the ocean. And Jordan, I read this chapter and my whole, I felt vindicated. Like,
I don't know how in the world
to me, I don't know how you could read this chapter and not think that we are going to learn more about the relationship between the world government and the ancient kingdom. And I understand the last part of the chapter is talking about the future and not the past, but in my opinion, we know that there's a great cleansing that the world government is planning on doing. And if the great cleansing is, like, if you've ever read the Bible, there's one great cleansing that happens really in
Noah's
the Bible.
Ark. Noah's Ark.
It's a flood.
Even
like, so in my opinion, I read this chapter and I'm like, they're going from, he's carrying on the will of O'Hara. They like, that's me paraphrasing. That's not the exact language used, but he's carrying on the will of O'Hara. And we know that O'Hara, we know what O'Hara represented to the world government. And then we go on to Vegapunk talking about how the world is going to sink into the ocean. And my mind immediately went to, this is the great cleansing that's going to happen. And Vegapunk is about to reveal all of this stuff about the world government to the rest of the world. So I don't know how you read this and we're like, we're going to get like some science reveals.
So I have so much to respond to. Is that, do you know what geology is, Abraham? Have you ever heard of geology? I'm curious. Have you ever heard of
it? I have.
So in case you did not, I got a definition from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. The scientific study of the origin, history, and structure of the earth. Now, I want to be really clear that I would have had to have been an idiot to think that whatever was going to be on Vegapunk's broadcast is not going to be in any way a threat to the world government. There's a reason that they do the summoning to bring five Elder Stars out to Egghead Island.
Right.
There's a reason that the Elder Stars are like freaking TF out, trying to figure out how to stop this broadcast, why Mars is like running around, why they're going around the whole Labastratum. There's a whole note about the Mother Flame. That's the kind of thing that would be really worth talking about if it wasn't like one of the biggest lore reveals in the entire.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah, exactly. Next week. But this chapter at its core is about revealing something that we don't understand about the nature of the world, which is the fundamental thing that I suggested was going to happen.
So what do you think? Okay. What about the nature of the world is going to be revealed? Because in my opinion, like I said, the flood is related to the final cleansing that we know the Gorosei and Imu are planning. How does the world sinking into the ocean or the water levels rising or whatever, like, relate to that? Explain that a little bit further when you talk about
it. How does it relate to what?
The nature of the world.
What do you mean how does it relate to the nature of the world? Like, the fact that the world is sinking into the ocean.
No, but the world is not...
An
not,
actual
okay.
example.
Like, yeah. Water 7... Water 7... Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
You know how I was saying I was so mad about my timing and how bad it is? When we were in St. Louis, I'm in Samir's car driving to Noda's birthday. And he goes... And he's talking about what he thinks the reveal of Vegapunk might be about, like Kuma's God Valley memories. We're talking about what you said it was. I was like, man, you know, whatever you say is some nonsense. And as an example of something scientific about the world, I said, I think that we could get an explanation for like why the entire world is a series of islands and like why the whole world is basically ocean.
So
it seemed like exactly that.
Here's my thing. There is an island like this in the world. Water 7 is an island that is actively sinking into the ocean. I don't know if it's actively sinking or the water level. I think the water levels are technically just rising because of the Aqua Laguna or whatever. Regardless, it's like there's like constant flooding that's happening in Water 7, right? It's not like all these other islands that we've gone to in the world, like that this is an issue. It's not like we're going to get back to Fusha Village or to like Sabaody Archipelago, and we're gonna be like, oh, you know, we didn't notice, but the water levels of this island were like rising a little bit. It sounds like there's going to be some triggering event that causes this. So I don't understand how you could say this is related to the nature. If this was related to the nature of the world, it would feel more like what we have on Water 7 than what is being described to us in this chapter.
What exactly what do you understand is the nature of the world, right? Like, I think for me, what I'm suggesting is that what we were going to learn over the course of this reveal was that so basically what I think is happening is something is changing towards the world, right? For example, it's perhaps like the ancient kingdom is sunk to the bottom of the ocean, right? Perhaps that was part of like how people were like, I don't understand, right? Like maybe it has something to do with the mother flame and energy and things like that. But what we've actually figured out here is that this world that we've just kind of taken for granted as a group of islands that's just kind of like spattered out from place to place is not exactly what we expected. And again, geology is like a scientific type of reveal, but it's hard for me to like be like, I'm wrong when I basically suggested that like why the world is an ocean is something that is within the realm of scientific things that I could expect. It's geological. And you're right that it's not related to where powers come from, which is one of the things that I had thought about. But I do think that this opens up the kind of possibilities that we hadn't, like it opens up a number of possibilities that we hadn't thought about for what exactly the One Piece world looks like.
Okay, but I think there's still a disconnect between what we're saying. Right. Because I've seen theories out there that like, you know, the One Piece world used to be like a giant Pangea kind of continent.
Right.
And
yeah,
that
yeah,
the
sure, yeah.
the water, like Morge has a theory out there like that.
I mean, you had the buggy theory like two days, like a week ago. And that was a Pangea theory.
Yeah, exactly. The reason why we have all of these scattered islands is because of like some rising water levels or whatever. I'm not denying that that could be the geography of the world. But what I'm saying is in this
geology.
But in this chapter, Vegapunk specifically says our world is going to sink into the, or what was it exactly? I don't want to misquote.
Our world is going to sink into the ocean. You had it right.
Our world is going to sink into the ocean, right? And what I'm telling you is that all of these islands across the world, other than Water 7, right, that is not something that is happening right now, right? So they're, I think they're clearly, for this to happen, for the world to sink into the ocean, there has to be some are there any you look confused.
Now, what do you mean this is not a big deal for anyone except for Water 7 is not going to happen?
No. I never said that this wasn't a big deal for anyone other than Water 7. I said that this is not something that is happening right now for any island outside of Water 7. In Water 7, they're actively, like, sinking below the ocean, right? That's why they constantly have to keep rebuilding the city. I'm saying across the world, though, right, this is not a problem that the world is dealing with right now. Do you agree with that or no? Like, you can go to a random island in the world and they're not like, oh, hey, our island is sinking or water levels are rising. Do you agree with that or no?
I think that it's because it's been happening over a long period of time. It's not something that they've noticed, but it's something that I expect to be a very serious and important part of exactly what getting to Laugh Tale looks like, exactly why Roger was too early. I think this is like a key factor in what getting to the endgame is going to look like. Whether or not people in Fuchsia Village need to like freak out right now, I'm not sure.
No, but my point is, if you want to say over centuries that, you know, the water level has been inching up so slowly that people haven't noticed it, fine. But that doesn't matter. Like, that's not something that matters to like people's livelihood, right? Vegapunk saying our world is going to sink into the ocean. When I read that, and I feel like when you read that, the idea is that there is going to be some kind of event that there has to be some kind of triggering event that causes the world to sink into the ocean, because these islands are not sinking into the ocean right now. Like, all of these islands across the world are not sinking into the ocean, right?
Sure. Maybe. So
Yeah, these islands are not sinking into the ocean right now. So that means there has to be some kind of triggering event in the future that is going to cause this. And my point is that I don't understand how you, unless you have some idea for how this triggering event is related to the nature of the world or something, like those seem to be two different things.
Right, like, I'm not saying that I think it's completely unrelated from anything the world government's doing, right? I'm not saying that I'm like, obviously whatever is in this reveal is threatening to the world government. It's like I said before, I would have to be a huge idiot to not believe that the world government was like, that this was going to be a threat to the world government because of all the effort they're spending on trying to stop this dude from getting it out. But what I'm suggesting is that it's not just the One Piece world, which we have just taken for granted as how it is, as like a series of islands scattered out across the world. It's not that it has just looked that way forever. It's not that that is just like the nature of the One Piece world. It's been progressing, perhaps because of like, probably because of something like the world government, et cetera, is doing towards being sunk. Whether there is a trigger for that happens, whether there's not, I think at the very, like, one of the things I think is really interesting about Vegapunk's speech is the whole, I'm not qualified to judge these things and I don't know nearly enough about him in any case.
But I guess we disagree.
It seems very, very clear that he's not saying that the world government is doing some kind of terrible, evil thing. What he is saying, like, to me, this actually really feels, I think we talked a little bit in the last week about if there's a situation in which what the world government is doing, they actually think they're doing good or some kind of necessary evil or taking on some burden. And actually, if you look at that part of Vegapunk's speech, I actually did read the Raws for that part of it this week. Uh-huh. What he said there is less just like an offhandedly, I don't know enough about him to judge right and wrong. He said, I won't debate right and wrong. I don't understand him enough to even debate right and wrong. So I do think that he's talking about someone like him who's making some serious set of decisions.
Right.
But that it's going to be complex. It's not just going to be some kind of evil thing. It's just that this thing about the nature of the world that he's revealed is going to eventually be threatening to the world government.
So that is a little, I mean, I like that you brought that up. I think it's a little unrelated to this. I think what you just brought up is more related to what we talked about, the complexity of final villains. And we talked about that last week, right? Where we were like, do you think that at the end game of this series, that the world government is just going to be this black and white evil organization? And we talked about Well, maybe their order is going to introduce a little bit of gray into these characters, a little bit of like moral complexity into them. And that seems to be more aligned with what Vegapunk is talking about in this chapter and what you're talking about right now. And I don't want to beat a dead horse because I feel like we're going back and forth a little bit and just disagreeing on the same thing. But the last thing I want to say before I move on to something else about this whole geology and nature of the world is that you mentioned at some point that this is something the world is progressing to. And my point is that, like, this flood and this, like, that, like, in the, like, that this is something the world is progressing to. And in my opinion, we have no evidence that this is something that the world is progressing to. My point is that this flood is just going to be something randomly, quickly triggered by the world government in order to achieve some objective. But like I said, I don't want to beat a dead horse about this because I feel like we're just... Sorry, go ahead. You wanted to say one more thing. Go ahead.
What we have seen is things that make the sea level rise as a result of things like, you know, maybe it was one of the ancient weapons. Maybe it was just another kind of evil, super evil, big thing. But the thing that came out of the sky and destroyed the Lucia Kingdom, we did actually see something that was done by the world government that does create... increases in the sea level.
Right. Yeah. I want to ask you about what you thought when you read the whole stuff about Ohara in this chapter. And then, because I think it was actually a very important part of the chapter that maybe, I don't know if we interpreted it differently, but yeah, what did you think when you read that? And what do you, what did you think when you read that?
Well, for me, it was unsurprising, right? Like the idea that whatever they were, what we knew that Ohara was researching has, and we know they knew the name of the ancient kingdom, right? But the idea, but we also saw a model of the world, and there were like 8 different moons and, you know, on all kinds of different tracks. And so to me, there's some kind of it's difficult to really imagine exactly what they knew. At Ohara, I think it's clear probably that it was more than just, oh, we've just researched this ancient kingdom and here's what happened. But to me, it just felt unsurprising to understand that this thing that the Elder Stars are treating as a major threat is related to the last thing that we saw them treat as such a major threat, however many, you know, what, 15 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was like 12 with the time skip. It might have been like 22 years ago or something like that. I don't know. So yeah, I read that, and you brought up stuff like the solar system that they have in Ohara and all of these other things. I agree that those things are there, but the other thing that we know is that the Oharans were archaeologists, right? It wasn't like a group of academics in general, where you have physicists, chemists, you know, all these different specialties. Like, they were archaeologists. They studied history. That's what we know. Now, we don't know anything about, like, the, you know, the solar system in the One Piece world. Like, I feel like Oda might have just drawn that in there. And this is just speculation on my part, like those moons and stuff like that. Because we've only ever seen one moon. We know Enel is on the moon. We've only seen one moon. Right. That might have him being, like, you know, some creative liberties or whatever. I don't think that they were researching stuff like outer space. I think they were very clearly studying world history, right?
Okay, you know, hey, listen, as you like to tell me, there's hieroglyphs on the moon, but go on. You're the one who tells
me
that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there are, because there are civilizations in this world that have descended from the moon. So I'm sure at some point their research into history, like, was connected to the moon at some point. But I'm saying, I don't think they're studying stuff like gravity and all of, like, oh, all these different moon. They're studying history at the end of the day is my point.
Yeah, totally, right? Totally. I know, I'm just busting your butt. Hey, moon has history too, man.
So when we get this, these quotes from the Gorosei and from York, because they're saying that this information is coming from York, that Vegapunk intends to, you know, continue the research of the Oharan scholars and whatnot. To me, it's just like, and in the next coming chapters, we're going to get a little bit more revealed about what O'Hara was studying and what they gave their lives for from like this Vegapunk broadcast.
I think that's probably true, but I also just don't take it as in such a literal, it's we're going to learn the exact things that we would have learned if Clover kept speaking. I think of it in a broad sense as well of there's a group of people who are studying the world, right? So whether it's science, history, like, you know, anthropic anthropology, right? They're studying things in the world, and the world government, for whatever reason, that is probably more complicated than we've been led to believe to this point, just based on the way Vegapunk was talking, they don't want everyone else to, they don't want to have the truth to reach everyone. And so you have people who have tried to reveal that truth because they simply believe in truth. They believe in humanity. They believe that history and science are things that should be accessible to the ordinary person. And that's Vegapunk. That's O'Hara. In some ways, that's probably like Roger and pirates and whatever. But that is the way in which they're carrying on the will of O'Hara. Is like, I think probably there's going to be some things about the reveal that are relatively similar, especially because we know Vegapunk and Clover were friends. But I think that really it's about the idea of saying we're scientists, we care about truth, we care about average people, and we believe in humanity in a way that the Elder Stars, the world nobles, who are stopping everyone and shutting all that talk down, don't.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll say that I think one thing that's really interesting that this brings up is one question that we've really had for a while is why did Roger fight on the side of the world nobles?
Yeah.
And I think that that's certainly something that maybe he had a hint that like, okay, this is kind of, maybe there's a little bit more complexity to this, but I think this is a moment that really says to me, hey, maybe he was fighting on their side because there really is a complex answer to come to when you get to that final island and when it comes to what the world government is
That's
doing.
That's what Raylex says, right? You guys might arrive at a different conclusion than we do, right? You're to some degree, I guess it's like your journey will maybe determine how you interpret what you find at the end of the road, right? I have one more thing that I want to ask you before we get on to the awards. We get all of these cuts to all of these different places in the world, right? I thought it was an interest, and I'm also going to, I also want to shout out to Morge, YouTube one.
Oh, you're shouting out Morge. Oh, that's.
I want to shout him out because this is this is not like an Abraham original idea. This is something that I thought about once he brought up on his like chapter recap, where he's like, when you look at the people that we're paneling to from across the world, we don't get people like Dragon, Shanks, Blackbeard. We're getting like regular people, right? Like Laboon and random citizens around the world.
Right.
And when I see that, that also to me suggests this is going to be more like a reveal that is more relevant to like the everyday man than something that is more like grandiose about, you know, this is how like, and I know this is not all 100% what you're saying, but like this is how Devil Fruit work, or this is like this power that was used by the ancient kingdom, and this is how like the ancient robot is powered, like that kind of stuff feels like it would be irrelevant for these kinds of people that Oda is highlighting in this chapter. So why do you think he chose to highlight those kinds of people in this chapter?
Well, again, right, in the end, it turns out that why is our world a bunch of islands is something that's related to, it seems to be very clearly related to the reveal that actually happened. So within the realm of things that I thought would happen, there are things that would affect the average person. I think that what I would suggest is it wouldn't surprise me, right? We hear the Elder Stars talking about the Mother Flame. We hear the, in this chapter, it wouldn't surprise me if whatever is either causing the world to sink, like whether that is some is going to be some discrete action that the world government takes to institute some sort of cleansing, like maybe that's what happened in the Void Century, right? Was that was the last Noah's Ark point and we're just heading back towards there. Like, it could very well be that whatever is required to create that discrete event, or like whatever the world government is doing to either respond to or create the situation that we're talking about with the with the world sinking into the sea, is related in some ways to whether it is the mother flame, right? Like it could be related to like why they're enslaving people. Like, why are there a bunch of slaves building Tequila Wolf? I don't know, but that sure seems related to the fact that the world is sinking into the sea now that we know they're trying to build a giant bridge somewhere. So I guess that's not like the most direct answer to the question, right? And as it
I
in
got
just
you.
turns
I
out
got
that
you.
it wasn't the devil fruits, but it wouldn't surprise me seeing that once we learn more about why the world is sinking into the ocean, it wouldn't surprise me if
Wouldn't
we
surprise
continue to learn a little bit more about where all these other things come from, and like what is this source of power that is maybe the mother flame? Like, what is the world that Blackbeard wants? I think all of these kinds of questions are going to be answered as we approach, as we learn more about what the world government is doing to stop this, what they've been doing to create this, and why the world is actually sinking.
That's fair. I think it's time to get on to the awards. Got some awards. I think you're gonna love my award, but I want to hear your award first.
All right, man. Can I do the read? I thought I had a good
Oh,
read for it,
my bad.
man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Me
I didn't realize you had prepared something.
I did, man. Oh, you know what? You edited my one for S class and F class. So I said it's now it's time for an award show where we give recognition to award-worthy moments that you might have missed. And if you'd like me
Okay.
to go first, I can, you know,
No,
I would.
I can go first. That's fine. I can go first. Okay. The title of my award is the Jordan Mann Award.
Oh my God.
Before I tell you who's winning the Jordan Mann Award, I just want to tell you, I'm telling you about yourself, right? But I feel like this is like a multi-layered award, right? One thing that I've learned about you is that your dad thinks that you're a little rough in the face, right? We've shared this story on the pod. Jordan's dad, not the most
Say rough in
complimentary.
the face. He just said not as good looking as Jordan Seabury. Jordan Seabury is very handsome, so that does not make me rough, okay?
On top of Jordan not necessarily being the most handsome man, one player person, I think outside of Aokiji, I think the person that you cosplay the most from One Piece is probably Usopp, right?
That is true. Yeah, I probably actually do cosplay Usopp the most.
Okay. So Jordan, kind of an ugly guy, and cosplays Usopp a lot. So the reason why Usopp in this chapter is getting the Jordan Mann Award is, actually, you know what? I'm gonna give the Jordan Mann Award to Kaya in this chapter. The reason why is that much like Jordan in real life, we know that Usopp is clearly punching above his weight with the woman that he just has waiting for him. Once this adventuring is done, Jordan is—he's kind of like he's a single man right now. He can't really be tied down to one woman, but I'm sure at the end of the day, when he settles down with someone, it'll be with someone way, way above his league, kind of like Usopp and Kai. So this week, Usopp is winning the Jordan Mann Award.
That was the most that like that wasn't even a backhanded compliment. That was like back at a hand, like around the block, roundhouse kick, drive around three times compliment.
Yeah.
Thank you, I guess, for thinking that if I settle down, that she's gonna be bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, all that rest is. Listen, man, what my abs, I can still see my abs. Abs and legs, your boy's doing all right, so.
Usopp has abs too. You remember post times? Yeah, we
Come
saw
see be a cartoon character,
it.
man. Come see these abs and legs, and then we'll get on. My award this chapter is the Media Matters Award, going to Morgan's, and what I thought was probably definitely the funniest moment of the chapter, because it wasn't that funny of a chapter on the whole, for freaking out about broadcast television trying to kill print media. Newspapers are dead, kind of, in the One Piece world. It seems like they might be dying soon, and maybe they need some private equity to come in and keep them alive, you know. But they're kind of in trouble in the One Piece world. But we might be seeing some, you know, the elder stars, kind of like Amazon taking over the Washington Post and talking about how everyone's, you know, taking over the Washington Post and making sure they don't write any nice articles about socialism or anything bad about Amazon, how Amazon treats its workers.
Yeah. I nearly went with Morgan's for my award. I thought I actually laughed when he like popped up out of nowhere, just like the print. I thought that was hilarious.
But how could you possibly resist giving an award that you got to talk about how ugly I am for the entire first 75% of it? So, good job, Abraham. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Now we don't have a chapter next week because of Golden Week in Japan. So we're gonna hold our 1,114 predictions until then.
But can I ask you a quick question, Jordan? Actually, it's always something that I wanted to ask.
Oh my God.
Do you know what Golden Week is? Because I feel like I've known about it for years and years because there's always a break, but I don't actually know what Golden Week is.
I think it's just like a week. They get a lot of like vacation. I don't know if it's like New Year or something, but they get a lot of vacations, like a lot of festivals and all these different places. It's kind of like if the whole country went on spring break at once.
Got you. Okay. I figured, you know, you think I don't respect your Japanese knowledge, but I respect it.
Honestly,
it enough to ask you those
I'm
questions.
Not gonna lie, because I like we'll get into this in the post show, but I was really expecting a lot more disrespect in today's show. Cause I was talking Japanese. I was telling you that I had made a prediction that was pretty close to right that I had made off the air. like you have no idea how much prep I did. I had Samir ready to come on. For me to get on the phone and call Samir to come on to prove that I actually said that, because I thought you were going to just say you are making that up.
No, I didn't care. There was so much more.
I'm not going to lie. This man is much more respectful when we're face to face than when he's on Discord. I'm just going to say what this man's mouth is more respectful than his thumbs. I guarantee you that. But we have your friend who's going to. That I even said it's time for S class versus F class. And if I got anything wrong about Golden Week, if you're one of our listeners, we shout you out for getting us to 30 listens already in the last episode. That's our best number in 1 week. You know, if you want to let us know what Golden Week's about, I don't know, comment on a YouTube. It'll be lovely. But it's time for S class versus F class, the segment where we find theories on the internet and rate them so you don't have to. And now we have your friend who produces this podcast to read Alex. Here to read us some theories. What's first, Alex?
Yeah, so this first one is coming in from Abraham. He found it from our boy Liam, Grand Line Review. And it goes, Zoro's habit of getting lost is something that only appears in the story after Kuina dies and he inherits her sword. We know that swords like Enma have a will of their own that they exert on their user. And the literal translation of the name Wado Ichimonji is straight line through the path of harmony. Could this imply that the sword has a will to go in some particular direction and that this is responsible for Zoro's poor sense of direction?
You know something? When you started with this, I don't know if Alex just gave that such a good read that like it seems serious to me. When it first started with he has a bad sense of direction, and that only appeared since Kuina died, I was like about to like roll on the floor dying. at the very least, I think that this, I got a little confused by how good Alex's read was, but I think this falls within the hilarious enough theory to be an S-class theory. It's on the right side of the funny spectrum.
I have another thing to tell you, but look, I don't want to interrupt you. If you want to say something else, go. There's more to add to this, but you keep going.
Well, I feel like one thing I kind of like about it was I was going to say, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, it was also a traumatic incident for him, you know? And so sort of feeling like the, you know, his girlfriend who was there is no longer with him. And sort of, he feels like he's always wandering and focused on other things. You know, I don't mind it. I think it's an S-class theory on the humor side.
Yeah, I mean, it was a joke theory, but also, the only time that we see Zoro without the Wado Ichimonji is, it's not really Zoro. It's during Thriller Bark when his shadow gets pulled out of him and put into that other zombie, right? And we know that a lot of the same personality traits that Zoro has are retained in this zombie because he's like fighting the Sanji zombie and he's doing all this other stuff, right? But he doesn't have the Wano Ichimonji. And throughout Thriller Bark, Liam and whoever created this theory points out that this zombie like never gets lost. They're like, we have to go this place, we have to go that place. And maybe this is just like
I mean, it's
Oda
a zombie,
forgetting
right?
about the it could very easily just be Oda forgetting about the gag. But the it, I feel like it's kind of the idea is also kind of cool that we know Enma is exerting a will on Zoro, and the person who created Enma is the same swordsmith who created the Wano Ichimonji. So I don't know. It's definitely a joke theory, but I feel like it's something that could happen. There's like a 0.1% chance, but it could happen.
The will of the swords makes it just believable enough that, on the spectrum of how hilarious it is, it easily makes it an S-class theory. Alex, what's next?
Yeah, this next one is a J-Man original, and we've already kind of hinted at it during the chapter discussion. The world is sinking because the world government is mining a giant hole into the center of the earth by using something like the giant weapon we saw destroy the Lelouchia kingdom. The source of infinite energy the Mother Flame taps into is at the bottom of this hole, maybe even at the center of the earth.
Okay. Is this a Jordan Mann original or is this like a Becky, Rebecca, someone else? No. And be honest, do you think
I'll
it's.
leave you to review it and then you'll find out.
I actually don't think that I would call this. This is not like a bad theory, I think, because we do know that the weapon, whatever it was, that the world government used to wipe out Lelouchia does increase the water levels of the world, right? Like you're like, oh, water is rising. Don't think they're using it to mine anything because, like, yeah, we just it's a weapon. So I can't give it an S. It's a nice theory. It's well thought out. And it was creative, but I can't give it the Abraham seal of approval. So, you're gonna
Oh,
tell me
come
that this
on,
was
bro.
you.
You're just doing that because it's me.
No,
If
I
Morris
genuinely
said that, you would be like an
I'm
S-class theory for sure, bro.
no, I'm wait, is this actually
Because
you? I don't
yes,
know if this
actually,
was you.
you should have known. Yeah, it's actually me. You want to change what
No, I thought you were gonna I thought you were gonna say this is Rebecca,
said?
Becky, or
Abraham,
something.
you should have known that it was me the moment I said Enies Lobby. The moment I said the hole in Enies Lobby. You should have known that this theory was me. It just came to me when I was thinking about why the world might be sinking, and or right, reciprocally, why the sea levels might be rising. We've seen that happen. And again, I'm really interested in why there's this giant hole in the middle of Enies Lobby that the government seems really intent upon protecting. And we've seen something that can actually make a giant hole in the world. So it's just interesting to me thinking about like, what could they be doing down there? Could the thing that created that hole be the thing that caused, right? Honestly, it's in line with what you're talking about with the idea that a discrete event is from the world government, or at the very least, some action the world government has been taking over a long period of time is related to the fact that the world is sinking. But I think it would answer a number of questions. It would be like an action that they're taking. We wouldn't know exactly why they're taking it, but they did also mention the Mother Flame, and the idea that that could be the thing that they're after at Enies Lobby is certainly fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's just the mining part that I can't get on board with. But Alex, why don't you give us the next theory?
Sure thing. Our next
Thank you, Alex.
theory comes from Doc Saki. It is that Blackbeard's connection to rocks is that he is the last of a race that was saved from extinction by the Rocks Pirates. We've been told that Blackbeard has a special lineage, which could suggest that he might be the last of a race of people that were previously eliminated by the world government, similar to the Lunarians or Buccaneers. We also know that prior to God Valley, The Celestial Dragons held a triennial hunting competition on random islands throughout the world, and that the Rocks Pirates' attack on God Valley is the reason this has been discontinued. Perhaps 3 years prior to God Valley, Blackbeard's Island was chosen by the world government, and that Blackbeard was the sole survivor due to Rox's intervention. Could this be the connection between Rox and Blackbeard rather than an actual familial bond?
Yeah, I think that this one feels to me like it's almost like a little bit of a cop out. It's like, well, they're not Buccaneers and they're not Lunarians. So we don't know, but it's some other race that was almost eliminated, but we don't really have the courage to actually like make a suggestion as to what that might be. And so for that reason, I feel like while interesting, I want a little bit more in terms of what the implications of that actually are that we would have if you were actually suggesting the Buccaneers, which I think is a pretty common trope out there. So I'm going to give it an F-class theory for that reason.
So, I guess before we were introduced to Lunarians or before we were introduced to Buccaneers, right? No one would have been able to guess that there was a race of Lunarians or Buccaneers. Like, and that specifically, that's what they would have been called, right? Because it's not like there was any evidence in the story for that. So, I personally don't think that just speculating that there is another race that exists that, meets these qualities is a weakness, because any guess, if he was just like, I think these guys are gonna be like Morganeers, for example, right? And then let's say Oda calls them something else, right? At the end of the day, does it really matter what he labels that race as if the point is that there's this race of people that who ha like have these unique features, you know, like.
It's not so much the infeasibility of this one, it's the lack of creativity in thinking of it. Just the idea, oh, maybe they're not connected by blood, but they're connected by lineage. And oh, maybe it's not Buccaneer or Lunarian, but we're just gonna say it's maybe another lineage. To me, it's just uncreative.
The real quick, what was the name of the YouTube channel that I got this from, Alex?
Doc Saki? I'm probably butchering it if you're calling me out, Abraham.
It's sake, Doc Sake, like the
Dude,
I was
for a
like,
second, I thought you were gonna tell me that you like went and found a Uteron
no.
video.
I
You
was just
mislabeled
laughing
it to
because I'm
trap me.
No, I was laughing because it was like I don't know. Like, I feel
Hey
like
man, is
you it's pronounced sake.
yeah, that makes sense. He's been drinking a little bit too much, according to Jordan. So, all right. I've got one more theory for you guys, and this is one that I've been thinking up, hanging out with you. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. So it revolves around the dreams of each of the One Piece crew, especially with this revelation that the world is sinking. And I think, you know, there's some general consensus around the One Piece world having once been a Pangaea. You already touched on this. I think there's a pretty clear battle between Sanji's dream and Nami's dream. Sanji's dream is to find the All Blue, which I think would require a drastic geological shift in the world, whereas Nami's dream is to create a map of the One Piece world. So if Sanji's dream becomes a reality, that means that all the work that Nami has done up until this point would be undone. So with this in mind, do you think that some, if not all, of the One Piece characters may fail to achieve their dreams? And if so, maybe the driving thing that Oda is getting to is that the pursuit of dreams is more important than the achievement of dreams.
I personally think that every single Straw Hat will achieve their dreams. I like the spin that you put on it at the end, that the pursuit is more important than achieving it. I don't think that'll be the message at the end. And Jordan and I have argued about this other theory for a long time about the destruction of the Red Line and the creation of the All Blue, because I don't think the All Blue will be created by water levels rising so high that the water like rises above the Red Line. I think what's going to happen is that at some point the red line will be destroyed, probably by like an ancient weapon like Pluton or something like that, and that the destruction of the red line is what will allow for all of these four blues to kind of converge and make the all blue, and Nami's dream will still be able to be achieved. So, one, I think all Straw Hats will achieve their dream, and two, I guess, yeah, that's basically the question you asked. Will they achieve their dream? What do you think, Jordan?
What I would say is, I really like this theory. I'm gonna have to give this an S-class theory, not because I specifically agree with the Sanji and Nami part, because I agree with what Abraham said, right? If that kind of thing happens, you're just talking about the islands can all still be there, and a lot of Nami's work isn't a waste. And even if it did go to waste, I think like one thing we learn about history and science and geology, you hear he said geological in there, Abraham. One thing we learned about geology, one thing we learned about history and geology is like if you chart that, that's going to be significant even if the world no longer looks exactly like what it looks like. But I do really like the idea that we might be surprised when we get to Laugh Tale. It might be that we show up and there's a really difficult decision to be made. It might be that Im has been this, tragic character for however many years. Doing it's like self-sacrificing him, like sacrificing himself and making really difficult decisions that he believes are better for the sake of the world. And I'm using him because Vegapunk used him, and it feels to me like that Im is the character that he was talking about. So for me, I think that would add a certain level of complexity to the series and to the ending that I think is something that I would really appreciate. And whether or not that does happen, I think I would really like it. And I think it would make One Piece a really interesting story. So that's an S-class theory for me. Was that all we
All right.
have for theories, Alex?
Yeah, and I'll take that last one. So, moving into some of the after show conversations, we were throwing around a topic in the Discord, and that is that some stores like Walmart and Target have been putting a lot of their items behind glass cases, meaning you have to go run someone down, grab a pair of underwear, take it to the front desk and buy it. Jordan, you weren't so thrilled about it until I posted some Usopp boxers in the chat, and that got you interested. You said, "Hey, maybe I'd have to steal these," which I'd like to call you out on. You were giving all this grief on Usopp a couple of episodes ago, and now you're thinking about maybe swiping a pair. But
Hey, listen,
what are
man,
your thoughts?
just because Usopp is not courageous and kind of annoys me does not mean that I'm not gonna cosplay him and does not mean that I want him on my underwear. All right. I think
That's crazy.
I like One Piece. He's a One Piece character, and if that's one of the One Piece characters I might have, near my balls, it's just gonna be Usopp.
Wow. Okay. That was crazy.
That's where the boxes are, man. But I do think
You
the idea of people going into like Walgreens and like, look, it is very sad that there are people who not have the basic necessities that they need to survive, like underwear. But the idea of like Walgreens and Target having like SpongeBob underwear like behind bars is hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's an inconvenience, right? Like I'm especially if I'm just I get it. It's a private business. They can do whatever they want. But
Yeah.
I'm trying to go in and out like that. I have to ask someone to like
I
just to
guess.
buy some.
Because I grew up in like a fancy neighborhood, right? And so like growing up in a fancy neighborhood, you go to the Walgreens by you would never see anything like that, right? And now, I own my house and it's not in a fancy neighborhood. And it drives me nuts every time I have to go to Walgreens and it's like, oh, I want like it's always like batteries or whatever. Oh, I want like deodorant. I can't just like go pick out some deodorant unless it's like the cheapest kind, which I'm normally looking for the cheapest kind, so it's okay, but oh, I can't actually go pick out my own lotion. But when it comes to underwear and the kinds of underwear that they have at Target that have the, One Pieces and SpongeBobs and all kinds of other hilarious media, that it just carries a certain humor to me.
It's funny. It's funny. But
It's like
I guess I'm also
thou
saying
shalt not have SpongeBob near your balls.
Bro,
Bro, that's where
what?
Bro, that's where your boxes are. I'm not, this is what it is.
I mean, I don't have any grown men or cartoons near my balls. My boxes have they're very monochromatic. They're like blue, red, yellow, green, whatever, black, gray. Was
I got one pair from my brother, my future soon to be brother-in-law, because when we were at my sister and his wedding, or sorry, engagement party, we kind of, me and his brothers played a prank on him. We like took his phone and then threw him in the pool or whatever. And then everyone was like, okay, screw it, we're all getting in the pool. And I was wearing running shorts at the time, so I just like jumped in my running shorts. It was a great time, but obviously they were wet and we were going to a bar afterwards. So I wore one of his. They're very bright and colored and like orange and blue and whatever. And I'm like, dang, like I feel like these boxers have been way too close to my sister for me to wear sometimes.
Why would you go there?
Bro, but
Why would you?
they're such comfortable boxers though.
Why would you? Okay. There was no need for your mind to take you there until it went there. Like this man was kind enough to give you some of his own clothes off his back. And you were like,
I
and for some reason you're just like, this is what I'm thinking of right now.
Bro, I was thankful, and well, I wasn't thinking of it then. And then I've had them because I flew back the next day, so I didn't see him. So I just like have had his boxers for the last. Like you telling me that you had your sister's, she's not married, right? Sister's
No.
boyfriend, fiance, like whatever. You had his boxers for like 2 years. You would ne thought it would never cross your mind. Like, dang, like it's a
No,
little
it wouldn't have. And now, if it
weird.
happens in the future, it probably will because of you. But I think before today, that never would have happened.
Well,
That's
congratulations.
crazy.
I just lost the game, so
Oh my God, I lost the game.
I just had, if you Alex, are you with us here? You just lose the game?
No, I'm not with you.
Oh man, well, you did just
Wow.
lose
Alex
the
doesn't know
game.
about the game, which,
Congratulations.
in a
I'm
way,
just
I feel like that's
winning.
the only way to win the game.
That really is the only way to win the game. It quite literally, I just had to think of it since I was out here making you think of things that you otherwise would not think of.
Really quickly before we move on, Abraham, I'm curious who's worse? Jordan right here for thinking about his sister's boyfriend's boxers, or Sanji for thinking about Bonnie's boxers.
Pedophilia trumps whatever kind of quasi-incestuous thought that Jordan might. I'm not saying there was any incest or incestuous thoughts,
Hold on,
but
that is not an incestuous thought. Let me be clear. That is not in any
yes.
way an incestuous thought. That is a being like, I don't like this because I
Yeah,
want to be clear,
I got
not
you.
that.
I got you. I got you. I got you.
But also thank you for rating
Sanji
me.
takes the bigger L.
Yes, thank you for rating me ahead of pedophilia because I was really going to be offended if you did not give me that one just to rip on me. So but
Oh man.
I got some romantic advice anyway that I want some questions with grown women, obviously.
Okay.
As you all know, I've been going to a tea shop on Fridays to meet a housewife and practice my Japanese for the better part of 2 years now. And there's this super cute barista there who the eye contact had like gotten completely out of hand with, right? Like it was the kind of thing where we had reached the point where it was like you're not even like pretending to look away. It's like we're just kind of like looking at each other, and she'd be like smiling at me, and I'm waving, and I'm like, dang, like I kind of gotta do something about this. But so as we were talking one time, I went up with Ayaka, and she had a kanji character. It means belief on her wrist, and I said, why do you have that character? And she said, well, because I'm a Christian, which I was like, no. But the eye contact kept getting even more ridiculous, so I still had to ask her for her number and invite her to a barbecue, which she said she's like, oh, I'm honored to be invited. But as you know, I'm Jewish, and someone being a certain type of Christian can really be a red flag. So what should I do?
What is a
What is a
certain
certain
type of Christian?
Well, but it's like, like there's people who's like I'm really like a Christian, and it's like if you like on the deep end, I had a girl who I was like talking to a little bit, who was then like, what, you think we came from monkeys? And I was like, yes, I actually do. Please never talk to me again. But In the less that far side of it, you know, far outside of it, like, you know, I have a number of friends who, like, there are people for whom their Christianity and like believing is like a really deep part of their life, and who want a deeper relationship with, like, you know, like I have a friend who he was dating someone and she said, I just feel like we have to break up because you're not close enough to Jesus for me. And the thing is, I really don't want my three-way to be a relationship. My relationship to be a three-way with Jesus. I don't want my relationship to be a
What?
three-way with Jesus.
I
Hold on.
was so confused.
Bro, I said that so wrong.
Okay, I think I get it. I think I get it. I get it. Well, here's the thing. I feel like you're whether or not you should pursue this further just depends on what you and her want, right? I feel like you're not, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not looking for anything serious. You're not looking for anything long term, are you?
I'm always open to anything, but like for someone to for me to choose long term, I would feel like they have to be really cool. Like, you know, I got S tier with like, oh, if the situation was different, you know.
Huh?
Like, oh, like we met but you're engaged, you know, like, oh, well, you know. But or like, oh, we, you know, like oh, we met like the woman in New York, right? The black Jewish woman who is like, oh, you live in New York and you want kids in 2 years, right? So I'm
Well,
open to it, but I'm not like I'm open to it, but it's not something I'm like actively looking for.
So I think, you know, figuring that out is the important thing. And I personally don't see any reason why you can't. It's kind of similar to like, you know, what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with our other friend. And the relationship advice that we were giving, but it's like you can take a couple, you know, like a couple dates to like try and feel it out and be like, what kind of Christian is she? What is she looking for? Is she looking for a deep relationship, a deep, meaningful, long-term relationship? Because if you're not looking for that, then it doesn't really matter, right? But I think just making the first move, I don't really see any kind of problem with that. I will say I have one hard no in terms of relationships, like in terms of who I would pursue for a relationship, and the no is always religion. And
Interesting.
it's not because I'm religious, because I'm not religious at all. And I don't care about whatever religion anyone else practices because it doesn't affect my quality of life. But I know that if I were to marry anyone that was not some branch of like Christianity or whatever or Catholicism. I can't remember which one is a subset of the other. But like if I were to settle down with like a Jewish person or a Muslim person or whatever, right? Down the line, when we inevitably have kids and my mom has grandkids, I can see that conflict coming, right? And I know that's a fight that's gonna happen. And my mom is going to be like, well, I want my grandkids raised this way. And if my wife is a religious person, like let's say she's Muslim, she's going to be like, well, my children are going to be Muslim. And if I have to, if I have to choose between my wife and my mom, it's just at the end of the day, my happiness is going to be compromised. So I'm just like, why would I ever put myself in that situation? So that has always been like, I'm not even going to pursue this kind of to answer your question.
Dang, bro, that's anti-Semitic, bro.
Anti-Semitic. God.
I'm playing, I'm
You
playing, I'm
know,
playing.
okay.
I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking. But you know, the it's funny because I had a kind of conversation. Now I don't feel that way, right? Like I would date outside my religion and my, you know, my parents, I don't think they would care. But I was talking to a buddy who is also Jewish, and he's very secular and very atheist, and they barely do anything Jewish, although we had a Passover Seder a few years ago. Happy Pesach, by the way. It's Passover right now. And we were talking, he and his girlfriend are, or his fiance are probably going to have kids. And as we were talking, he was like, yeah, like I just don't really know what to do with the Judaism because we don't really do anything Jewish, but like, I don't want them putting up Christmas trees. And I was like, yeah, man, you can't like if you I was like, yeah, man, if you don't raise them Jewish, they're gonna be out here like, you know, going to church and talking about talking about Christmas and Easter and stuff. And I was like, man, we can't have that. He's like, no, man, I don't want that at all. And so it's crazy how it's the default, but it's really, that's one of the things that kind of is one of the pain points in a lot of relationships. Fortunately, I'm not so worried about that. I'm a little bit more worried about,
Right.
like,
That's
how does
what.
she feel about premarital sex?
Well, that's kind of my point, right? Like, so ask getting her number and like figuring that out. Unless you're just like, I don't want to waste my time. I feel like there's no real downside, right? Like,
Cool. Well, she's coming to the barbecue that's going to be next to us. I'll be preparing for it when we're on the show next Saturday. So excited to, I'll give an update at some point.
okay. All
Well,
right.
thanks everyone. That's all we got for time. Thank you to Alex, your friend who produces this podcast, for helping out behind the scenes. Come back next Sunday for our chapter 1114 predictions. And maybe, just maybe, Abraham will get off his pride because he wasn't able to give an S-class theory. He said it was a nice theory, but couldn't give it an S-class because I was the one who brought it. So we'll see if maybe he does that next time. In the meantime, we are your friends who read One Piece. Help us get more friends by liking our podcast on Spotify, sharing, giving us 5 stars, and following us on YouTube at Friends Who Read One Piece to see Abraham's ugly mug on all the thumbnails. Thanks for listening. Later.
Take it easy, y'all.